I'm very happy now to welcome Peter Lewis. He is the author of the brand new book, Dead in the Dregs. It's a novel, and he is going to be at Garcia Street Books this afternoon at 5. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thanks so much. It's lovely to be here.
So this is a murder mystery. Starts with a murder on line one, and it's all about not only murder, but wine. Your own background is in wine and restaurant work for decades.
30 years. I've been in the restaurant business in Seattle, had my own restaurant and cafe, Campagna and Cafe Campagna, and traveled to France, to the wine country, almost every year for 2 decades. So I know this world intimately.
And so having been in this world so closely and having had wine be such a big part of your life, does the culture of wine suggest murder and intrigue?
Well, wine itself is a mystery. You know, we don't really know when it was first discovered. We don't know precisely where it was discovered. But this story always first came to me as a murder mystery. First on a trip to Burgundy in the late 90s. And watching the winemakers deal with the critics who really control their livelihoods, who control their fate. And watching that funny little dance that takes place when the wines are first released and the critics go to taste the wines in the cellars, it's a fraught encounter where the livelihoods and the stake of the wine publicly is really determined in this one-on-one encounter between a winemaker and a wine writer.
Now, in that way, and in a lot of ways, wine is an art form. And just like any other art form, like ballet or movies or books, the critics have a very huge role, even though they themselves are not artists, usually.
It's true, and most wine writers, very few wine writers that I know, are winemakers. But they determine the fate of that wine nationally, internationally, how a wine scores. How it's written about, how it's perceived by the broader marketplace is a direct result of this very intimate encounter between the winemaker and the wine critic.
And so in your book, and full disclosure, ladies and gentlemen, I am just starting this book, so there's no danger that I will give away the the solution to the murder because I don't know it yet. But a wine critic gets killed, and so of course every winemaker is a suspect if he's panned their wine.
And not just one winemaker. There are a series of murders that take place in this story.
Right.
You know, I would like to think that the experience of the book parallels the experience that we have in drinking a great bottle of wine. You know, you have that first encounter, and you smell the wine, you look at the wine, you taste the wine. The first impressions give way to this second level, what we refer to as the mid-palate, where complexities begin to reveal themselves, and then you come into the finish, and there's a depth and a complexity that you don't really suspect on the first tasting of the wine, but it gets richer and deeper and more complicated. And this is a dark, rich, bloody story.
So this is a murder mystery about wine. You have a great deal of experience with wine. What about with mysteries? This is your first book.
This is my first book.
So how did you teach yourself to be a mystery writer?
You work very, very hard. This book has probably been through 7 or 8 rewrites. I was very lucky in having as an editor a woman who has 30 years working with mystery writers, and I learned an enormous amount. The book has come a very, very long way, but you know, when you talk about the art of making wine, one of the things that I appreciate in great wine is what we refer to as non-interventionist winemaking, where you let the fruit express itself. The winemaker tries to get out of the way so that the purity of what we refer to as terroir, the expression of place in wine, is revealed. And my experience in writing the book was very, very similar to that. The exercise of working on the book and revising the book was really a process of stripping away everything that was non-essential, that interfered or obstructed the arc of the story. So it has been a learning curve.
Very interesting. We've had conversations both on this show, and for some reason, it's a theme that keeps on coming up in my life. People telling me that, especially writers, that there is this almost sense of taking dictation. In other words, that the story exists and you just have to kind of listen to it and say it.
It's true. The story came to me, characters came to me almost fully hatched. The character of the French colonel in the gendarme, Emile Sacquin, really came full-blown to my imagination. And then you set these characters in motion, and they declare themselves. They
right.
show themselves.
And you can't always make them do what
you
they...
You can't. They tell you where they want to go.
That's just endlessly interesting. Now, did you have any models of favorite mystery writers or favorite literary writers that you were also drawing on?
There are people who I read and love, but I've never read a wine mystery. There are wine murder mystery writers, but in the course of working on this book, I steered clear of reading anybody who had written on the subject of wine in the context of a mystery.
We're talking to Peter Lewis about his book, Dead in the Dregs. Back to wine. We did a show here on the Radio Cafe not too long ago with somebody from one of the restaurants here in town and from the Wine and Chili Fiesta, who is a wine connoisseur. And as I was preparing for that, because I don't drink much wine because I'm kind of allergic to it, but when I was preparing for that, I was reading about the whole phenomenon of wine tasting, and it seems like there's at least a certain amount of pretension involved in that, because a lot of people, if you blindfold them, they can't even barely tell the difference between red and white.
There is a great deal of silliness surrounding wine. And the character, the protagonist of this novel, Babe Stern, is, in fact, an extraordinarily accomplished sommelier who turns his back...
Which means wine taster.
Wine steward. He worked his way up through the industry. He's won awards. He has an extraordinary palate. He has... vast technical knowledge of wine and winemaking, and many of the clues that begin to emerge in the course of this story are things that only somebody so deeply versed in the world of wine would understand or be able to detect. But he turns his back on his own career. He's fed up with the pretension and the posturing and the silliness, and ends up running a bar in Calistoga, in northern Napa Valley, and turns his back, but is drawn into this because the first wine writer who is found is his ex-brother-in-law, a man with whom he tasted at a very formative stage of his career, and in whose shadow his own career developed. And he's brought into this first to look for Richard Wilson. Then the body is discovered, and he feels that he's the only one who knows enough about Wilson and enough about this world to really figure out who killed this wine writer.
Who done it? So, ladies and gentlemen, to find out more about this and to check out this book, you can go to Garcia Street Books today at 5 in the afternoon. The book is called Dead in the Dregs by Peter Lewis, and I guess this is your book launch.
This is the launch today. This is the first public bookstore event at Garcia Street today at 5 p.m.
And for those who don't know a thing about wine, I guess they'll learn a thing or two if they read this book.
I think so. I hope so.
Peter Lewis, thanks so much for being with us on the Radio Cafe.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're going to take a break. Rob DeWalt will be with us speaking of the arts in just a moment. Please stay tuned.